Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to the Dirt Sheet, the Going In Raw Dirt Sheet. It's the only pro wrestling news source you need to be coming to week after week, where we take all of the news of the week and we sort out what's bullshit, what you should be paying attention to, and we bring it to you right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson and wherever podcasts are available, including the iTunes, man. Ooh, boy, we were like number 55 on the iTunes the other day, Larson. This morning. It was fantastic. Amazing and
incredible.
Professional is what I was going to say. Anyways, how you been?
Okay. That was a hell of a baseball game last night, wasn't it?
I tuned in at the before the 10th inning.
Oh, so right after the rain delay?
Right after the rain delay, yeah. I tuned in during the rain delay, actually, because I got on my phone and it said going to extra innings. And I was like, this is one for the ages. I'm going to check it out. So I popped it on. I was laying in bed. I watched it. And then it was game on after the rain was done raining.
I happened to turn it on right before the Indians started their rally to tie the game up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I watched all the excitement.
Pretty crazy stuff.
It is.
Baseball, so much pressure.
Baseball is a fantastic game. I love it.
That is the one thing I can appreciate about it, is that you got that one dude up on that mound. All the pressure in the world on him. You know, I appreciate that aspect of it, but I got too much stuff to do in my day. So that was my baseball season, was simply... Was it just one extra inning?
Yeah.
There? Yeah, because the Cubs
was one inning.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like, my thing is too, is I like history.
Yeah, I know.
I'm fascinated by history. I love history. I really, like, one day it'd be great to go back to school and get, like, you know, some sort of history thing.
I agree.
History classes, you know? Because I love, like, somebody on Twitter, I think it was Craig from Screw Attack, Game Attack. I think it's Game Attack now that he's with. He posted something. It was like a picture of that street in Chicago.
Yeah.
Then last time they won.
In 1908.
In 1908. Yeah. And then people were posting historical facts about the last time they won the World Series. Yeah. And that is the one thing I love about baseball, is just the fact that it's been around forever. You know, forever. So I think that's cool. And I love the fact that, well, I love seeing history be made. You know, that's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. It's good. Good stuff. Anyways, we got a lot to talk about.
We
today.
Do.
My goodness. In fact, we want to talk about first Undertaker.
Yeah,
because we just saw the press release about TNA. We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah,
because I'm kind of tired of talking about TNA.
Yeah, that's why I thought we could talk about some other stuff, and then at the end of our news segment, we can talk about TNA.
Fair enough.
So the Undertaker's coming back, confirmed
to SmackDown Live. What?
On November 15th, which is the last episode of SmackDown before Survivor Series, and I guess it's also SmackDown's 900th episode. So I guess they're going to commemorate the occasion by having The Undertaker return.
The 900th episode of a TV show is equal parts impressive and underwhelming, because you're almost at 1,000.
But think about it, though. For a weekly show, that's still 2 more years.
That's 2 years. In my opinion, that's only 2 years away.
I know, but that's still...
Yeah, that's 2 years away, which isn't that... It's like... Why are you
most
even bothering?
TV shows don't even last 2 years.
You have too many things. I know, but most TV shows don't last 800 episodes, 700 episodes,
no,
or 500 episodes.
I understand.
So the 900th episode, I don't think is a big enough deal for The Undertaker to come back. The Boogeyman, yes, not The Undertaker.
Well, I'm sure the primary reason he's coming back is not to commemorate the 900th episode. I think it's to reform his tag team with Kane to take on Bray Wyatt and Randy Orton. That's what I think is going to happen.
Ooh, see, now you're thinking. I like that idea. Because really, what would be the reason for him coming back? Partially, I guess, because the show's 900. So if this was like the 856th episode,
I think they still would have done it.
You think they still would have done it prior to Survivor Series? They still would have done it?
Yeah, I think so. I think because they want to get some hype going into Survivor Series.
Okay.
They want to get some extra spotlight on SmackDown and get those ratings up.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it makes sense for the storyline they're telling with Randy and Bray and Kane.
That's why I was really happy about this, because I was like, SmackDown's ratings need to go up. We need to see that as a healthier show, because it is, in our opinion, the more entertaining of the two shows.
Easily.
It needs to, this is the only knock I have on SmackDown right now, is that it needs to feel more important.
And having The Undertaker on there does that.
Absolutely does that. And I still think that if Goldberg has a good time with Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series and he's like, man, you know, I could maybe do this for a couple of years on a very limited schedule. I like the idea that Goldberg could be SmackDown's part-timer, SmackDown's marquee.
Well, I really like the idea that Undertaker, at least
that too,
right now,
that as well,
is SmackDown's part-timer. And, you know, what if Kurt Angle comes back?
Yeah.
He'd be a perfect fit for SmackDown.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So I like your idea of him teaming with Kane. But this does lead, you know, is the WWE going to start setting up?
Yeah, there's been a lot of speculation after this announcement that perhaps this will WWE will start ramping up storylines for WrestleMania, in particular for The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we know that John Cena, while I don't believe he's advertised for Survivor Series now or even the SmackDown before it, is on SmackDown.
Right.
And for the last couple of years, there's been talk of an Undertaker-Cena program for WrestleMania.
That's right, yeah.
So that's a possibility.
That would make the most sense at this point just because Cena is healthy.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to take advantage. At this point with The Undertaker, you need to take advantage of people being healthy and ready to go and no scheduling conflicts with TV shows or movies or whatever like that. You need to take advantage of all that stuff. And with Cena being, you know, fit to perform, you know, as of now anyways, and you want to protect him a little bit, then I think that would be wise to set that angle up. Let me ask you this. Is there any chance that WrestleMania 30... No, there wouldn't be any chance.
What?
Well, now that the streak is broken, maybe. Cena versus Taker at 33. Any chance Cena wins? What if they were somehow to get the... You know how you make SmackDown huge? As much as I love AJ Styles, and this might go contrary to what a lot of people want to see out there, put the title on the line. Have it be Cena's 16th versus... I mean, there's no streak anymore.
Yeah.
But Undertaker's legacy is still sort of...
They make it a retirement match for The Undertaker, then it might work.
Yeah. How long did that retirement last? Unless he felt good for 34. Because they always do that once in a lifetime match. So they can know. No, but what you're saying is absolutely right. Because the only thing he has left is his career.
Yep.
So make it a retirement match. And Taker loses. Cena goes over. Gets the belt. And then at 34, if Undertaker's feeling up to it, you can, you know, he's like, well, that Undertaker died. He got retired.
He can start going through all the various...
iterations. Dead Man Inc. is back. Yep, Dead various, Man Inc. is back.
The various iterations of the Undertaker character.
Did you see that when we were... Did you watch WrestleMania 25 for our aborted book of the match?
I've seen a good chunk of it before.
See, there was a long-ass Kid Rock show. There was a long Kid Rock show. And, dude, that was like 2007 or 9. I think it was 2009.
Been 9, yeah.
And they had a Kid Rock show. What in the hell is that? New metal. I hadn't been around for literally 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
What is that all about?
I have no idea.
Anyway. I think that'd be great. But do you think Cena's not going to be showing up to that SmackDown? So
I think this is
probably just going to be him and Kane type thing.
Yes.
But hopefully we'll see The Undertaker. Like you said, I hope that The Undertaker is back. I hope that he's on SmackDown. That'll make that a big show. We won't have to cross paths with Brock Lesnar anymore. I like it. I like all of it.
Yes.
Make SmackDown great again.
Well, it's pretty good as it is.
No, I know. I love it. I just want other people to love it and know that it's great.
I think most people acknowledge that it's great.
I want ratings up. That's my point.
Oh, okay.
I want ratings to go up.
Okay.
This is next big, big news.
Yeah.
Ronda Rousey confirmed, signed with the WWE. She'll
Not
be
confirmed.
Joining NXT. She's taking on Asuka at TakeOver Toronto, Brooklyn.
Well, no, it's Mickie James taking on Asuka at...
The Queen of the Garden.
Maybe.
Hey there, Asuka. I'm here in my garden.
Well, here, let's get...
Ready to fight you.
Let's get through the news, and I have an idea. I want to run by you.
Okay.
So Ronda Rousey was on Ellen.
Yes.
On Tuesday.
Yes, Dory.
To promote... UFC 207, her fight
Tory.
At UFC 207. She said, Ronda said this would be one of her last fights.
Yeah, I wonder, because she's doing the job for, who's she fighting? Is it the rematch?
No.
It's not. She's not rematch, she's not fighting. Oh, she's fighting for the title, isn't she?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think she wants to fight for the title and then she wants to have her rematch against
Holly Holm.
Yeah.
Holly Holm.
So anyways, TMZ asked Stephanie McMahon about Ronda's soon to happen retirement, and whether she would like to see Ronda in the WWE.
And Stephanie said, "God, I certainly hope so. I got to get her back. She put me in that armbar. I'm certainly going to try. So I'll just leave it at that." And she went into Vince mode, full Vince mode for that. I don't know, I didn't see the clip, but that's what she said. She said, "But so that begs the question: do we want to see Rousey in the WWE?"
Here's an idea. I came up with this on my way over here.
All right, let's hear it. These are always good. These are always gold. Money.
So, with Sasha losing at Hell in a Cell.
Remember, we have influence now. It's become plainly clear that somebody listens to this show.
And granted, I don't know when Ronda plans on officially retiring from the UFC. But
let's say it's a year from now.
Well, I was going to say, let's say it's in, well, she has a fight soon and then another one 3 months later.
Okay.
So, that would be February.
Okay.
Would be her last fight. So, Charlotte won the belt at Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say between now and WrestleMania, she has a program with Bayley, ultimately comes out on top.
Okay.
So she can say, who is left for me to face in this women's division?
Yeah.
Out comes Ronda Rousey, challenges Charlotte to a match at WrestleMania 33.
Yeah. It'd be an awful match. It would be such a bad match. This is why
potentially
it would be such a bad match. I would never want that to happen. I don't want to see Ronda Rousey anywhere near the women's division because she's not a professional wrestler. I think she's way too big. I think she's way too big. I would love to see her in a sequel to what we've already seen.
What we saw at WrestleMania 31.
She teams up with
The
Rock
and
Stephanie and Triple H team together.
That's the most likely scenario.
That's the scenario that should play out. I'd love to see The Rock and Triple H go at it again. That's what I'm hyped over.
Yeah.
I want to see Rock and Triple H. That was always a feud that I always loved back then. I want to see The Rock and Triple H go at it. And in that respect, then Ronda Rousey will be worth all that money that it's going to take to bring her in. It's just her in the women's division is too... And maybe Charlotte can talk some shit to her. I don't know. But, you know, say you have your four horsewomen, but nothing beats the real four horsewomen. Something like that. But I don't know. I want wrestlers to be in the women's division.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Well, what if Ronda came in not for a one-off appearance? What if she said, okay, I'm going to take the next 3 years and not necessarily wrestle a full-time schedule, but be on the road, be on Raw most weeks.
I would be totally fine. I mean, obviously, I love Ronda Rousey. I think she's great. And I would be totally fine with that. But that is so outside the realm of even being close to possible. Would never happen.
You never know.
No, I do know. This is one of those things I can firmly say this will never happen. That's not going to happen. She's big money. She can get, and I know money isn't everything to a lot of people. But when you know that you're worth X amount of dollars, then taking 3 years to pursue something like that and hoping to I mean, obviously she wouldn't be climbing her way to the top. It just doesn't make any sense from her, from a business point, especially when she knows she doesn't have to take 3 years. I really doubt that she has any desire to be like a full-time wrestler.
Oh, that's why I said not a full-time wrestler. Like she wouldn't be wrestling house shows.
Yeah. Right. I just think that she knows that she can simply walk to the WWE, get $2 million to come in, fight in the featured segment, a featured segment at WrestleMania, walk away, come do it again next year, maybe make an appearance at the Rumble because that's kind of like the number two, or SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Because that's like the number two pay-per-view. Something like that. She can do that. She can dilly-dally.
You don't think that she would maybe do a schedule like John Cena's been doing lately? 3 months on the road, taking a couple months off to go shoot a movie.
Not a chance. She is. Now, I could see her possibly, hey, I've got a thing at SummerSlam. Let me take 6 weeks to learn some shit, you know, and Charlotte maybe can carry the rest of the match.
Yeah.
And then they can do a dusty finish of some sort. Or Bayley will have the title at that point, and so Charlotte can be that person who can take on the big names, you know, the
big celebrities. And I think that if it were a Charlotte Ronda match, it wouldn't be for the title.
Right, exactly. And then so she can come in. Yeah, like I said, she can do like Lawrence Taylor. Lawrence Taylor, surprisingly, wasn't terrible in the ring with Bam. He was going against Bam Bam, who was a pro.
Yeah.
But also, he was okay. Like, he probably took 6 weeks out and really put the work into it. And we know Ronda has, when she's motivated, has a really good work ethic.
Well, also, Ronda has the, her obvious MMA background.
And they can obviously they would focus totally on like her MMA thing. And I wonder at that point, probably more of a matter of Charlotte sort of learning her ropes, you know, learning the MMA.
Well, I think they type way of probably doing have to find common ground where their styles can mesh to put on a compelling match.
Yeah, but I could see that. I could totally see that. She does SummerSlam, comes in 6 weeks, you know, 6 weeks in advance, does some training, and does some training throughout the year. Because I think she's probably really into it. Like, we all know that she's really into the wrestling thing.
Yeah.
But I think understanding that she can go there and play around for a little bit would far supersede any desire she has to, like, do NXT Sacramento, you know? I was so disappointed in NXT that we didn't get ours taped for a show. That makes me really bummed out because I could have seen myself on NXT hanging out with Shinsuke Nakamura. We'll talk about NXT in a little bit. There, I had some major problems in NXT this week.
You have to keep in
mind. Not happy with things.
That this is Sacramento.
I know. Okay, but they were airing from San Jose.
Yeah, San Jose is a major media market. It really is.
Eh.
All right. All right.
Bigger in Sacramento?
Yeah. Hmm. Yes.
I don't think that's true. What's bigger, internet? What?
I know Sacramento, I think, is the 23rd largest media market in the United States.
Okay, let's see here.
And if San Jose, if you include even just the South Bay...
Okay, no, you're talking about you're saying San Francisco.
Well, the Sacramento media market just doesn't include the Sacramento metropolitan area.
Right, right. No, I know. It extends out.
It extends out.
But you're saying is San Jose, because I honestly don't know, is San Jose engulfed by the San Francisco media market?
Depends on who you talk to.
Because on its own, San Jose media market. Do you think San Jose, they just probably get their TV from San Francisco?
No, I think they have their own...
you think they have their own thing? I have no...
I don't know.
Look, we're talking about shit we have no idea about.
Well, I'm trying to think because...
How big is San Jose, though?
I think population-wise, it's larger than Sacramento.
Is it? Let's see. Population...
Yeah, 1 million. It's twice the size.
Their population is... Okay, Sacramento... Look at that.
1 million.
Okay, all right.
Sacramento's about 450,000.
Doble the size. All right, fair enough. Anyways, moving on to shit that we do know about. We can talk about, continually talk about the women's division there in the WWE.
Oh, you skipped the Cruiserweight news. 205 Live, the Cruiserweights are getting their own show.
We knew that was happening. We knew that was coming.
But I know we knew that was coming, but it's interesting that, A, it's airing on Tuesdays.
I wish it was on Wednesdays again. Have it follow NXT. I'd have 2 hours to watch the wrestling.
They couldn't do it live then because it's a live show.
Oh, it's a lot. Oh, so they're just going to go back to... Oh, so on Smack. So if you're watching Smack, if you get a ticket to SmackDown, you get to see 205 Live too.
Yes.
205 Live as well.
205 Live.
205 Live as well.
Yeah.
What do you think of that name? What do you think of the name? I hate it. I hate that name. 205 Live. Number one, it's limiting. Sin Cara ain't 205. I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not impressed by it.
Yeah, it's not good, man. 205
Live. But anyways. Yeah, it's starting November 29th on the network.
Yeah.
And it's going to follow SmackDown. So instantly a lot of people were wondering what was going to happen to Talking Smack because that has been following SmackDown. So apparently 205 Live is going to air, and then following that will be Talking Smack.
Oh, I don't like that.
Yeah, that I don't like.
I don't like that at all. What a bad idea. The people need some time to chill out after SmackDown's done with. And that's a great time. Like, you're like, oh, we're going to stick around for 205. Like, yeah, but they might be... I don't know. That's just all bad. Okay, number one, I don't think...
And here's another thing, though.
It should be live because of...
Yeah. Here's another thing, too, is that the Cruiserweights are still going to be on Raw and exclusive to Raw. You know, they're not going to be on SmackDown, but they effectively will be part of the SmackDown team because they're shooting their live show following SmackDown.
Yeah.
It just seems weird.
I don't like, they've messed this shit up from the get-go. I mean, look, the bottom, we can pick apart the details and the minutia. Bottom line is we're getting more Cruiserweight action. Maybe they'll actually, the biggest question is, do you think they're going to let them do their shit?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. You know, like, it's a dedicated Cruiserweight show. Let them do what you brought them in to do.
Yes. And hopefully this will give...
Sounds like a freeway.
The creative...
Where are you going? The 205 Live. Okay.
Really?
You're taking the 205 Live, not the 5 North?
They're giving creative the opportunity to develop storylines for everybody on the Cruiserweight roster.
It's a mess.
Instead of having just one storyline, then everybody else in a tag match on Raw. So, I mean, it's a good opportunity. It's a good opportunity for those guys on the Cruiserweight roster, and I'm happy for them.
More stinker matches in front of dead crowds. That's terrible. I'd rather have it taped.
You'd rather have it taped at Full Sail?
Yeah. Full Sail crowd loves that shit.
Yep.
And they're kind of under the radar, so they can do what they want.
Yeah.
I'd rather have
it
taped.
You're going to have a crowd.
Keep your age.
Following 2 hours of SmackDown.
Yeah.
You know, there might be some people who just leave.
Keep your A story on. Because remember, the crowd for the Cruiserweight Classic was great.
Yeah. I mean, it's always great at Full Sail.
Keep your A story on Raw with the Cruiserweights. That's fine.
But also, you can use the 205 live show to flesh details out of the A story.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And then you can have multiple stories that you know, build characters on the Cruiserweight show.
I mean, look, it's fine.
If they're going to do it live, though, they couldn't have it any other day.
Oh, no, I know. You're not going to do it after freaking Raw Talk.
No.
That's for sure.
No. But yes, it's strange that they're having SmackDown, then 205 Live, and then then back to talking Smack.
I don't think it needs to be live.
Think it needs to be either. But that's what it is.
Because I'm not going to watch it live because we're busy working after SmackDown.
I know.
We're not going to sit there and watch 205 Live and
I know.
Sleep our way and another thing
go
too,
home
at 11 o'clock.
Another thing, too, could just be logistics. With the Cruiserweights on Raw the night before, usually Raw and SmackDown are shot in towns that aren't that far apart from each other.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So it might be easier to do that as opposed to have the Cruiserweights on Raw on Monday and then have them fly down to Orlando for a taping or even a live airing on Wednesday.
See, that's why I'm saying you keep your A players with Raw. And then, I mean, I understand your point about developing that A storyline. I don't even think that's necessary. I think you put all your other B players, all the guys.
Well, I think you have to have your A story involved somehow because you got to have your Cruiserweight champion on your Cruiserweight show.
God, I don't like this. Take the Cruiserweights back off of Raw. Put them exclusively on the Cruiserweight show, which follows NXT. And there you go.
But I like having the Cruiserweights on Raw.
But it hasn't been good. I like the idea. I like it in the potential, but they bungled so much of it.
I know, but if they let them do what the Cruiserweights do, it can
still be
good.
It could be a huge if, though. It could be a huge if.
I know.
They haven't yet.
I know. But I want them to. I want it to be good.
I want it to be good, too. I want all WWE to be good.
I know. Ultimately, we have positive attitudes about all things, pretty much.
Unfortunately, we got people like Kevin Dunn and waking up Vince McMahon. Oh, we're going to change things up. Can we talk about that now?
Okay.
So Ric Flair appeared on Busted Open Radio earlier this week. That's on Sirius, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's the same one that Corgan went on, right? To air his grievances.
Yes.
During Festivus season.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, he showed up on Busted Open Radio earlier this week and spoke about the Hell in a Cell main event and that weird ending. And also stated that two spots were taken out of the match because the WWE brass were, quote, afraid Sasha was going to get hurt. Woo! He went on, quote, if the original plan had been, and there were two things, if the original plan had been, there were two things, and I don't want to say what they were, but you can only imagine one of them was a moonsault. So we were talking about this a little bit before we started rolling. How could a moonsault have... I guess maybe a moonsault from the corner buckle onto her on a table, crashing through the table?
Yeah.
That doesn't seem like it'd be that bad.
No, I mean, there's a...
That seems like it'd be better than what they did. The powerbomb on the announce table looked fierce. That looked nasty.
Yeah, that did. The only thing with that, the thing about the moonsault is that you really can't see where you're landing.
Well, yeah.
There's far less margin for error in a moonsault as opposed to, you know, like a splash or an elbow. Which would make sense why, you know, rumors are true. And I think Ric Flair mentioned this previously about Charlotte wanting to do a moonsault off the top of the cell.
Oh, yeah.
That there's just...
No, there's no way.
There's too many variables in play where that can go wrong. Because we had talked about before we started, too, whether Charlotte could have done a moonsault off the side of the cell about halfway up. You know, like when Seth and Dean fell off the cell a couple years ago, it was about halfway up the cell.
Right.
But then, you know, she would have her feet in the holes in the fence.
Yeah.
And it'd be really easy to get a foot caught while you're trying to jump backwards and to seem like
you,
it's too
if
much.
If you put your feet, and we're totally stupid, we have no idea if this is the case. I think what you're saying logically makes sense. But if the holes are big, you know, they cut those giant holes.
Yeah.
If they cut some specifically for the moonsault and she was able to launch this way as opposed to this way.
Well, if she launched straight back, then I don't know if she'd be able to
contort
her
body
to
be able
to
do
the full
up like that. You're
moonsault.
Not gonna get a big rotation. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know, but what do we know?
I mean, what they could have done, I guess, is there's a a bar or
if
a rail
she did off the bar, yeah.
in the middle of the cell. Now, if they extended it out so it was like a 6-inch kind of platform,
yeah.
then she probably could have done it.
Yeah. Still, that there's like you said, margin for error seems razor thin.
Very small.
So I'm not sure. That makes sense. I would suspect, though.
But yeah, it's something off the turnbuckle, top turnbuckle onto Sasha a table, on a table. Yeah. That seems plausible.
Yeah.
The Wrestling Observer newsletter added some additional details to reports that kind of started floating around earlier this week about the original finish to the match, which was, according to these earlier reports, that Sasha was going to retain the women's title.
Yeah.
And that that finish had been changed by Vince on Sunday. According to Wrestling Observer, quote, at the production meeting the night before when they were going over the finishes, Banks was retaining her title. The plan was, as a Hell in the Cell match, this would be the blow-off, for now, of the Banks versus Charlotte program, and each would go in different directions. It continues, quote, Charlotte went over, but that wasn't a surprise, as the day of the show, Vince said he changed his mind on the finish. The idea was to move to Charlotte versus Bayley, which was at one point scheduled for a program until Banks recovered faster than expected from a back injury, as the title program. Later on in the report, said that there was a reason for the change, unspecified in the report, but that it had nothing to do with Vince feeling that Sasha was injury prone.
Yeah, that's interesting. And kind of heartening and disheartening at the same time. Because it's like, okay, well, good. They're not putting that rub on her,
yeah.
you know, being injury prone.
Yes.
But then it makes you wonder, what are the possibilities out there where Vince would have, like, in terms of, like, why he decided to make the change?
Well, I talked about the other day that maybe they just thought that. But then also in this report, they said regardless of the finish of the Hell in a Cell match, whether Sasha won or not, Charlotte was going to move into a program with Bayley.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about the other day that maybe they just thought, if Sasha won, and I assumed that she would move on to a program eventually with Bayley, that there was really nothing for Charlotte to do.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, Sasha can move on to a program with Nia Jax.
Right. Yeah. I do think that we can, like you said, we talked about this the other day. I think that Charlotte winning and keeping the title and doing what they're doing from a storyline position does kind of make more sense.
It does long term, yeah.
Because Sasha is not going to go heel anytime soon. People talk about that a lot. Oh, Sasha go heel, she should go heel. Charlotte is the big dog heel. Sasha's not going to be number two to anybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Sasha's not going to go heel anytime soon. And maybe they don't want Nia Jax in the title scene. Maybe he just woke up and he was like, well, this, look, I am perfectly willing to admit that Vince woke up and decided this, and that's not good.
Yeah.
I mean, that shit's not good for, but you know, it's like any story you write, you know, I remember Guy Ritchie, I once heard, said that he wrote the script for, I think, Snatch or Lockstock, one of those, like the day before he had to turn it in. And I'm like, not surprising. Like, you know, I personally enjoy those movies. I know you hate them. I personally enjoy those movies, those two movies, Lock, Stock, and Snatch, because I think there's some charm to his style. I know there's no substance, but I think there's a lot of charm in what he does.
I don't hate him. I wasn't that huge on him.
The characters he writes and the performances that are given in those two movies, I think are really funny. That being said, they're horribly structured, written movies. Like, they're meant for entertainment, and they come off as movies that were written at the last minute. When you write shit at the last, when you just wake up and make some decision, you have 28 writers and you're going to wake up and say, you know what I mean? Like, everything changes now.
Yeah.
That's not good. You have writers, and I know that he's Vince McMahon, but it's like, man, that's not, it's like, everything's in preparation. You need preparation. You need time to develop these things. That's just, you know, storytelling 101.
Yes.
Writing is rewriting, and that doesn't mean waking up and rewriting the finish to your story.
I know,
to be 180 degrees away from what it was.
Yeah, and then not making any adjustments, at least that we heard of, how the story is told leading up to this new finish.
So, I mean, I am perfectly willing to admit that that's just not. But you know, here's the thing: Vince has been doing this for years and decades and decades, and so it's like, oh, we work with what we're given, you know. It's like, and we're not going to shit on stuff just because of what could have been.
Yeah.
When we look at the outcome of that match, and we see Charlotte in the ring healing it up, you know, with that belt on her, which looks great, and she's doing a really good job. Yeah. And then Bayley comes out. I'm like, I'm kind of satisfied with that. I'm okay with it because she is a monster heel, and Sasha will always come back.
Yeah.
And I'm totally fine with that. And would I love Daniel Bryan to have had a 2-year run with that world title? Yes. But we couldn't get that.
Yep.
And would I have loved Sasha Banks to have that title from SummerSlam until now and still having it? Sure, because we love Sasha.
Yes.
But right now, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with the current story as it's proceeding at this point, because I think it'll make for a dramatic Sasha return, and then we'll see what happens at WrestleMania, and the story goes on and on. Hopefully, the heartening thing to take away with this is that they don't think Sasha's injury prone.
Exactly.
Which is good things for her longevity.
Yes, and future title opportunities.
Because nobody else is Sasha Banks. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there's one Charlotte, there's one Bayley, there's one Sasha Banks, and those three are going to be the top of the pops for quite a while.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh, and Asuka. Oh, man. But I wonder about, I wonder where Asuka's going to go. I love Asuka. Man, she's terrifying. It's great.
All right, now we have to talk about TNA.
You mean, oh, TNA, shit, okay. So there was a press release.
Yeah, that just was issued shortly before we started shooting.
Corgan out!
Well, we'll get to that.
The news! Corgan out at TNA Wrestling!
In short, Anthem Sports and Entertainment Corporations will be giving Impact Ventures money.
Yes.
Pretty much.
Yes.
There's nothing in this press release about Anthem actually purchasing Impact Ventures, which is a parent company of TNA.
Mm-hmm.
But it says here that, I'll quote it, today it was announced that Anthem has provided a credit facility TNA to fund operations.
A credit facility.
I think that just means they're giving them money.
Money.
The press release continues. The agreement includes the appointment of Anthem Executive Vice President Ed Nordholm to Impact Ventures Board of Managers. The company will be managed by the board, with Mr. Nordholm representing the board on all major operating and restructuring decisions. Dixie Carter will continue as chair of the company, as well as her position on the board of managers. Billy Corgan is no longer with the company.
And then Billy Corgan had a statement to say. Hold on, I want to read this one because you got to read that one. That was the boring one. And then I'm going to read, look at Billy Corgan's face right there. He says, he let out some tweets today. He said, fact, TNA was supposed to pay me 2 days ago, which they swore to in front of a judge. Yesterday, they asked for a day to get the money together. Upon which, yesterday or today, they'd reach out directly to settle all claims. So they lied again and have used the time as a weapon. Fact. I have still not been paid, and I'm exploring all remedies, including new filings with court and converting to 36% equity.
So I believe on Monday it was.
Despite all my rage, I am still not getting paid.
There you go. Good. I believe it was on Monday.
Despite not being paid, I am still looking at TNA.
Good. On Monday, I think the judge in Corgan's lawsuit denied his injunction.
Yeah,
temporary restraining injunction. So I would assume allowed this new partnership between Anthem and TNA to proceed.
Yeah.
And it looks like he was forced out. Corgan, that is.
Yeah.
Today was not a good day for Billy Corgan.
Today was not a good day. Today is not the greatest.
It's not the best day he's ever known. So.
Bummer for him. Bummer for us. Bummer for everybody. On the other hand, Anthem, the Fight Network, that's sort of what they're linked to.
Yeah.
It's a solvent company.
Yeah.
They seem to have a solvent parent company now. Yeah.
And based on the wording of this press release, it doesn't look like Dixie Carter is necessarily in charge anymore.
What does it say she is again?
It says she will continue as the chair of the company, so I would assume that'd be the chairman of the board.
Right.
But it said that the board, represented by Mr. Nordholm, will be handling all major operating and restructuring decisions.
But the question obviously is, how tight is she with those people?
Yeah.
Because does that mean, well, Dixie, I could easily, if they're homies, you know, he can be like, well, Dixie, you know, you know what you're doing around here. This wrestling business, we don't really know much about it. We have no idea what these people are like or what their intentions are. But they see value in the company. The important thing, I think, is that they see value in the company. So that's good.
WrestleZone's headline here suggests Dixie Carter effectively out of power.
Oh, okay.
Based on their reading of it.
Thanks. Too. Okay, so. WrestleZone got that. So, you know, a new day for TNA. Maybe a year from now, we'll be talking about wrestlers not getting paid. I wonder who they'd bring in to help run that ship.
From a creative standpoint?
Yeah. Lots of good people out there. Bring...
they should make Matt Hardy head of creative.
Matt Hardy and Jeremy Borash. Put them in charge. Oh, my God. All things deleted. All things... Oh, that'd be great.
Everything,
broken
everything
TNA.
Broken, yep.
I love it. Now, let's speculate on this. Are they going to rebrand TNA? I know that was the goal of Corgan's, but we don't know about the Fight Network.
I don't think so.
Probably not?
No.
They see the value in that TNA
I guess
name.
So.
I mean, I know they've sort of tried to pivot over to Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish they would just finalize that because that's a harmless name.
Yeah.
You know, that's fine. Just call it Impact Wrestling. Where are you going? Impact? Where are you going to watch that?
Yeah, they've kind of concentrated their branding on the Impact name and not so much on TNA.
They need a press release that says they're getting rid of that name, TNA, and then whatever. It won't change anything. But you know, they've been running a decent show lately. So, I mean, did I tell you this is big news? I haven't told you my big
what?
News. Huge news.
What is it?
I might get cable again.
I'm not surprised. This is a continuous cyclical thing
it's
with
not,
you.
It's not. How
the
long
last time you
I have not had cable since I moved
no, but this is
this
what
house.
Happened. You stop having cable, cut the cord, and then within a matter of months, you're like, I'm going to get DirecTV.
Mm-hmm.
And you had DirecTV for a while. I was like,
oh, yeah,
I'm not happy. I'm going to cut the cord again.
You know what I like
about...
And now
you're back around to cable.
I'm probably going to Comcast because I get public access. That's all I really want, public access. But then I can tape TNA and I can watch it. And then we can start doing TNA recaps.
Do we have to?
Yes! We have to. Look, the fight's over. Anthem has won. Fight Network has TNA.
Those weren't the original terms to our kind of agreement about us covering TNA.
Dixie Carter's out, though.
Well... Kind of. We don't know for sure yet.
WrestleZone said.
Well, in their headline. But we'll let's wait and see how that actually plays out.
Yeah.
When she shows up on TV the next round of tapings.
Bro.
Saying, I'm in charge.
Bro. Yeah.
Dude. When she goes and hires Vince Russo to be the head creative
oh,
again.
Oh, man. It'd be terrible. Listen. Can we make total nonstop deletion the first episode of our recap show?
Okay, I'll recap that, and we'll see how it goes.
See how it goes.
That'll be our pilot.
We're going to put it here on the Dirt Sheet, or is it going to be its own
it'll
Thursday
be its own,
thing?
It'll be its own thing.
It'll
be on Friday.
It airs Thursday
night.
Oh, man, when are we going to put up the Dirt Sheet? So Thursday nights, we're going to do that? I don't know. We have so much to figure out. We're such a ramshackle organization over here.
I know.
We need a project manager. I'm not soliciting anybody sending your resumes. We're not going to hire anybody, and we're not going to do anything for free either. We're going to hire people. We hired a writer for our top 10 show.
Yes.
And that's the only hiree we got right now.
Yeah.
But you and I, I hired some people to watch my kid. So that'll give me a little bit more breathing room, and then we can really figure this out.
Yeah. So let's talk about NXT. You had some reservations about this week's episode.
Oh, yeah, I did. I was not happy.
What was the source of your consternation?
The Revival.
Yeah, I didn't like that either.
I hated that.
I didn't like it either.
That's so crap. That is so crap. That those fans had to sit there and take that. Oh, I hate that. I understand the concept of like them healing, but I love that I misuse that term every time. It's great.
The storyline potentials of TNA, DIY going in there and winning that match.
I know.
Far and away eclipse the segment we got.
What's wrong with putting on a 5-star match in front of 1,000 people?
I know.
You know? And I liked, for that night, I loved the aesthetic of, like, you know, sort of Ring of Honor-ish, you know, because it's like the cameras were like a little bit goofy, like a little not as good.
Oh, yeah.
And it had just house show feel to
it. The audio wasn't quite as
I
crisp.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah, exactly.
The stuff they shot in San Jose, yeah.
I liked that. I liked that a lot.
But, yeah, that bugged me, too.
That bugged the shit out of me. Otherwise, I was fine with it. But the Revival were the tag champs. We're huge Revival fans.
Yeah.
and then for them to cop out on a match on a secondary match, because we were both saying it's going to be DIY versus Revival, and
DIY will go over setting up a tag rematch at the next takeover. Yeah. It made the most sense.
I know, it totally did, and it's just, that's absolutely ridiculous. So, but we did get a fantastic match between Roderick Strong and Shane Thorne. Ever since Ulysses, or the friendos Ulysses and Sandra,
yeah,
went to NXT, now all I do is focus on their dicks, because Ulysses was saying the dude in blue has like a big package.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Hmm.
And then I looked and I was like, yeah, it's decent size. Maybe Ulysses being there in person, you know, saw, like, maybe he was fluffed a little bit or something. I don't know. Maybe he was like happy to be there. But I didn't really notice anything out of the ordinary.
Yeah,
in
I didn't
terms
either.
Of their dick size. So this was all a night for the Dusty Classic. And in this match, it was supposed to be TM61.
Against Austin Aries and Roderick Strong.
But Austin Aries, of course, had his orbital bone shattered by Shinsuke Nakamura.
What did he say last night? Got my eyeball broken or something like that?
Yeah, he said something like
my eye broke, or something like that. It was funny when he said it.
It was awesome. And he said, you guys, and then TM61 comes out and he says, you guys we need to forfeit. You know that Roderick Strong can take both of you on and win. And so you guys can just leave now. Unfortunately, it didn't work. And it was funny because Shane Thorne kept on like threatening that. He said, you can't touch me. You can't touch
that
me.
That was fantastic.
You can't touch me. But anyways, Regal comes out and says, Austin Aries, I've talked to our medical staff and you cannot perform tonight.
He did say that he could have performed next week, which the way that his eye was looking.
Yeah, exactly.
No chance. Exactly. Absolutely no chance.
Storyline-wise, though, that was fine.
Yeah.
But then he set up a singles match versus... So that meant automatically TM61 moved on. Did the singles match determine...
Yes.
Oh, it did. Okay, I missed that part. Okay.
Yeah. So Regal said, we'll have a singles match. Mm-hmm. Whoever wins, that team will advance.
Oh, and that's why he said he can be next week. Okay. So, yeah, Roderick Strong versus Shane Thorne.
Good match.
Hell of a match. Quickly becoming a fan of Roderick Strong.
Yeah.
I'm definitely interested in looking up his other stuff in Ring of Honor when he was champ. Right now, the current champ, Adam Cole, not too into him. Interested in seeing what Roderick Strong brought to the table.
There's our weekly dirt sheet Adam Cole mention. Has to happen every week.
Adam Cole, baby!
Next was the aforementioned DIY Revival segment.
So yeah, DIY is out there ready to fight. The Revival come out, and Dawson is on crutches?
Yes.
Okay, I think it's Dawson.
Scott Dawson.
One day I'll learn who's... Scott Dawson's the bald one.
Yeah. Dash Wilder.
Dash Wilder is the one with hair.
Yeah.
Okay, so they come out. Dawson's on crutches, and he says that his knee is all sorts of tore up, and he gives every single thing that could be wrong with the knee.
Well, he mentioned things that aren't even in his knee. Like, there's no labrum, I don't believe, in your knee. Yeah. That's in your shoulder.
So he talks about how jacked up it is. And it's obvious, you know, the way he's a great delivery guy.
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that he's lying. And it was an entertaining promo, but the bottom line was their heel actions was simply to forfeit the match.
Well, here's the thing about the Revival is typically they're not cowardly heels.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And that was a cowardly heel move.
I know.
And that's why it bugged.
And they're not even opportunists. They're fists, not flips.
Yeah,
you
top
know?
Guys.
They're top guys. They beat the crap out of you.
Yep.
And they beat the
they
crap.
They may cheat to do that, but the end result is always
they always
beat
fight.
The crap
they
out
always
of you.
Fight.
Yeah.
And I hated this. I think you're exactly right. It just goes against what they are. It's so annoying. I hate that.
Yeah.
So anyways, no match there. DIY moves on. Then we got a Cedric Alexander interview.
Great.
He's good. He's young, you know.
I thought it was really good.
It was okay.
It was really good.
For a young guy, it was good. I like the old guys. They got the weight of experience weighing their voices down.
I understand
that's what
that.
I like.
But he added depth to something that could have been pretty basic.
Yeah, no, I agree. His delivery just shows youth. That's to me, though. But I know I love him. He's great. I'm not running him down.
See, I thought he just seemed comfortable.
He's okay. He's good.
All right.
Well, okay. Well, let me ask this. What's a better promo, his or Andrade Cien Almas' promo when he spoke nothing but Spanish a couple weeks ago? That was great.
Yeah, they're both great.
No, that was great. It's okay. He's young. You can still love the guy and say, hey,
I know,
promo's good.
I
wasn't
know.
Great.
No, I know. I guess I would say Andrade was better.
Yeah.
But Cedric was still good.
Cedric was good. Look, it's okay. I love Cedric Alexander. I'm just saying, you know, he sounds like a dude who hasn't had a lot of life experience. I like a guy who's like in his late, pushing late. I want a guy who's at the end of his rope, man.
Okay. Well, I know.
end of the line for you, baby. Okay. You're desperate now.
Okay.
I don't want these fresh-faced guys coming out.
You want everybody to be Silas Young.
Yes. Yes. I would love everybody to be the last real man, Silas Young. That's what I want. That is the most grizzled promo guy you'll ever hear in your life. He is so old. How old is that guy?
I thought you said he.
I know.
He was like our age.
I like, dude, when I started typing in Silas Young, it said Silas Young obituary. What does that even mean? He's younger than me. He's younger than you and me. He's 1979. That's great. He's shorter than us. Or he's shorter than me. Oh, that's great. He looks so old. Look at him. He looks so fucking old.
I know.
That's amazing. Oh, I love it. Look at that face. There is no better face in wrestling than Silas fucking Young.
Pretty
man.
Good.
Look at this face right here. Oh, that's great. Oh, I love it. Silas Young is the man. Oh, he's so great. Thank you for bringing up his name. Oh, I love
him.
Is he
the
so
new
much.
Official wrestler of Going In Raw?
Fuck yeah, he is. I'm sending him 5 t-shirts. Oh, he's great.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love Silas. Make him the Ring of Honor heavyweight champion, please, now.
Next on NXT was a DIY interview. I was in the kitchen getting some chips, so I missed half of this.
Oh, you didn't miss much, man. You know, honestly, when I was watching this, all I thought was, I need to bring Power Lunch and Son of Power Lunch to Fuck Wrestling. I need to bring them over.
Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling.
I don't know why you're not using the acronym.
Well, I'm using the name.
Is that the acronym?
Yeah, I'm using the name of the promotion. As it exists now, it might change.
Yeah, I know. Well, as it exists now, it's still Fuck Wrestling.
Well, it's Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling.
That's what you call it.
Next, in another Dusty Rhodes classic match,
yeah,
No Way Jose and Rich Swann,
I love these guys,
took on the Authors of Pain.
You know, my only qualm with No Way Jose at this point is that shirt of his. And I'll tell you why.
You mean his merchandise shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that either.
And on top of the fact that it's not a great shirt in the first place, he wears it. And it just doesn't go. I like if a guy is coming out and he's got gear that's very specific to their character,
yeah,
which his is.
Yeah.
That needs to remain pure. And
his shirt in no way reflects what he wears to the ring.
Exactly, exactly. And so if his merchandise did reflect that a bit more, I could see that. But his ring gear, it's so No Way Jose. Like, it's so a part of him that adding that black shirt, a black shirt
with
for
a,
No Way Jose.
With a stop sign on it?
With a stop sign with the most generic. It doesn't make, and even like the font they use isn't reflective of a stop sign font. It's bad. It's not good at all.
Yeah, it's not good.
I say no way. But he wears it anyways. They took on the terrifying,
yes,
horrifying Authors of Pain. These guys, I've seen them up close, as have you. Mm-hmm. Did you even try to get a hand? Did you put your hand out for them?
I don't remember.
I didn't. They walk right past me, and me and Talia both went like this.
See, I assume, generally speaking, heels don't do
right,
that.
Right, but I don't want them to look at me. I'm terrified by these guys.
That doesn't bother me.
They're the most legit. Well, dude, I know they're not going to do anything. I'm just saying, in character, I'm not going to look at them because they scare me.
Okay,
That's why. They don't scare you to that degree?
No.
You don't think they're going to kill you?
No.
You need to buy in more then, man. You need to buy into the show more. King of Strong style. You don't think Silas Young is like the most legitimate old bastard ever? And yet he's like my wife's age? It's weird.
It is interesting.
It is weird. Never seen somebody age that much. Talk about experiences.
Yeah.
Everything about him.
So yeah, Authors of Pain went over.
Authors of Pain. Yeah, of course they went over. Freaking comedy act. Are you kidding me?
They're probably going to win this whole tournament.
They're a themed, like, devastating monster heel act. They're not going to...
They're going to win this whole tournament.
They're going to win the entire thing. Sanity took on Kota Ibushi and DJ Perkins.
Decent match.
Yeah, it's a decent match.
I can't...
Ibushi's slumming it, man. They need to bring... Ibushi should be, like... whatever money they need to throw it at him to get him to be the feuding with Brian Kendrick over on the Cruiserweight division in Raw.
Yeah.
And let him do anything he wants to do.
I keep wondering whenever I see Sanity why Eric Young doesn't get more involved in the wrestling aspect of things.
What?
Like, how come Eric Young isn't wrestling yet?
You know, whenever I see Eric Young, I'm just reminded of that time when, after he made his debut yeah. in NXT.
When he fought Samoa Joe, right?
Yeah, and the next day, you say, I didn't know he talked like that.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know his voice was that raspy. I had no idea.
It's like listening to Static. Like, how old is this guy? If you just listen to him on the radio, you think that you're watching like a Band of Brothers where they're talking to the old timers who are really there.
Eric Young's our age.
I know. He's so grizzled. He's like a slab of leather with a voice box.
We need a tag team of Silas Young and Eric Young.
Oh my God. They're like, Silas Young, look at his face. It's like right here, he's saying, I was there the last time the Cubs won the World Series. It wasn't all that great.
Oh,
man. He's great.
You want to answer some questions?
Yes.
Oh, Sanity won.
Sanity won.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did.
They advanced.
I saw that coming. So it's going to be Sanity versus
TM61.
TM61.
And then Authors of Pain take on DIY.
So it's got to be Authors of Pain versus TM61 in the finals. I would think that's sort of part of the reasoning behind them versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Number one, nobody really loses if TM61 loses to Authors of Pain. Didn't we see them before on NXT TV?
Who?
TM61. I thought they put up a good fight against Authors of Pain before. Maybe
they did, yes. Yeah.
They
did.
Okay. And then we saw them at NXT Sacramento. So maybe they're getting these guys familiar with each other. Because this is going to go down in the finals.
Yeah.
Because TM61 is taking on Sanity. Yeah. And Authors of Pain is taking on who?
DIY.
DIY. Ooh, that should be a hell of a match. But there's no chance that Authors of Pain are going to lose that one.
No. I don't think there's any chance that Authors of Pain don't win this tournament.
Authors of Pain are basically, they're like going to be the Asuka, Samoa. They're like the Samoa. Like, they're... How are they going to get those belts off the Revival? Are they just going to send? Are Authors of Pain going to be fast tracked
for Maine?
For Maine?
I don't know.
Where are they going to go?
Because
who are the big heels right now on SmackDown?
Tag teams?
Yeah.
Usos?
Not. They're barely on TV. Who's Heath Slater? Yeah, Heath Slater and Rhino are taking on Spear Squad now. SmackDown needs the Authors of Pain, man.
Or the Revival.
Yeah, but I'm thinking the Authors of Pain.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
They're dominating.
Yeah.
They're terrifying.
You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, I want to answer.
Are you printing questions. That off to put on the wall?
Don't say anything. This is a surprise.
For who? If it's for me, I can see what you're doing.
No, for them. Us. For everybody. It's a welcome surprise.
First question, David Withers Clark.
Yeah.
Hey, friendos, longtime fan here. It seems that almost everyone is resolute in either Cena winning the Rumble to challenge Styles or Balor winning to challenge Owens.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't help thinking that the smartest decision would be for Balor to win the Rumble to then challenge Styles at Mania.
This is a very long question.
Yeah, but you kind of have to read it all to...
Okay.
Do you think this would solve the problems of SmackDown needing maybe one more big-time name to help stop it feeling so small... And Undertaker needing an opponent for Mania with us leaving Cena free.
Oh, okay. So basically what he's saying, should you have Balor go to SmackDown?
Essentially.
Yeah, okay. I'll tell you what, I don't like Balor going anywhere right now. I like him staying on Raw.
Yeah.
Because Raw is big names, and we need to feel out how Balor is going to be doing.
Yes.
Top of that, his gimmick is red.
Yep.
So that sort of thematically fits with Raw. He's got business to take care of with the Universal Championship.
Well, Kane's gimmick is red, too.
Yeah, but Kane isn't like the future of the company.
You don't know that.
I'm sorry, you're right, I don't.
KJ from NY.
Yeah.
Imagine if HBK versus AJ happens for real.
For reals.
What's the finish? KJ from NY likes the phenomenal forearm countered by midair sweet chin music as the finish. Well, if that match happens... AJ's going over.
It'd be great if they did that, but then they added some sort of like explosion effect to it. That'd be awesome.
Oh, you just want an effect, like in post.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
But then like both guys sell it in the ring as if they've been like blown up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just didn't want a real explosion.
The crowd is so confused.
AJ goes over if that match happens.
What's the finish? AJ goes over?
Yeah.
Really? It's HBK's comeback thing?
Yeah.
One time only HBK loses?
Yeah.
I would like to see this. So we know AJ can sell with the best of them.
Mm-hmm.
We know HBK can sell with the best of them. What if they both cartoonishly sold the way HBK sold to Hulk Hogan? That would be, and they're just bouncing all over the place. That would be great.
That'd be fantastic.
But the entire time they're laughing hysterically.
Yeah. They're having the most fun possible.
That would be so weird and
that'd
awesome.
That'd be funny. Western States Heritage Champion Matthew E. Williams Esquire. 250 days and still on
Has
top.
Has it actually been 250 days? That can't be right.
Doesn't seem like it.
Oh, man. He's crazy.
Hey, friendos. Who do you think should make the jump from NXT Beyond the Revival, Samoa Joe, and Shinsuke over the next 3 months?
Who do you think should make the jump from NXT Beyond the... Okay. Oh, yeah. I think Ty absolutely needs to bypass the title scene. Completely. He is so ready for main at this point. I agree.
The A-Man Aziz. Mm-hmm. Hey, friendos. Ty is his favorite NXT star.
There you
good
go.
Good choice.
Very happy about
that. How would you book his debut? Should he be on Raw or SmackDown?
SmackDown.
Yeah.
Yeah, it should be on SmackDown. I feel like he could have like a big, like, I could immediately see him as like an Intercontinental
contender. Yeah.
Over on SmackDown. I think it'd be great.
Yeah. Imagine if somehow The Miz got the belt back
mm-hmm.
and having Ty come out and challenge him for it. That'd be good.
Some sort of count, like what if he did like a countdown, like I'm having an open challenge and somebody has
10
seconds to get out here. And then it says
10.
Yeah.
And this awesome theme kicks in.
I hate that theme.
No,
it's so
great.
Bad. Go ahead and read the next question.
Jimmy Figueroa. Hey, friendos, do you think any of the Survivor Series matches will have a 1-on-3 scenario at the end of the match to have the one beat all three at the end, similar to Dolph Ziggler when Sting debuted, but without interference like that? I would say yes if John Cena was on Team SmackDown. It would be a 1-on-5 and he'd still win.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. What you said is good.
But John Cena is not in the match. So.
Look at me, he's right next to my head. Silas Young is great.
Oh, man. I wouldn't be surprised if that happened, though.
Okay, well, let's think about this. Who do we think is going to win, SmackDown or Raw? If there's stakes involved, it
depends.
It needs to be SmackDown.
Yeah, I agree. It depends on the stipulation. But yeah, I would think SmackDown would have to win.
I think SmackDown needs to win. Plus, there's more of that sort of like... there's more to Raw's storylines if Raw's team comes apart at the seams with Owens and Jericho.
Yeah.
So
And Reigns.
Yeah, they got the Shield in there, Owens, Jericho, et cetera, et cetera. So that being said, if SmackDown wins, and SmackDown thematically being the underdog show would have that underdog sort of situation.
Yes.
It would be 3-on-1. Who would be SmackDown's last guy who ended up pulling it off? Who's on their team? It's not going
to
be Corbin.
You would have to be a face, so it has to be Ambrose.
Could you imagine if it ended up being...
AJ against Owens?
No. Dean versus Seth and Roman.
Oh, yeah.
There's your Shield reunion.
That'd
right there.
That'd be great.
Who did that? Jimmy Figueroa? You get 10.
Why'd you do this? It's this.
Hmm. Because I was holding up the sign.
Oh, okay.
10.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Vincent, the smartest wrestling fan in the room, Palmieri.
Okay.
Challenge, friendos.
I love Vincent because I always imagine him like walking around the house because he does video questions.
Yeah, he's got one this week too.
Oh, he's got one this week too?
Yeah.
Is he walking around the house sort of aimlessly looking up?
He's sitting.
But he's still looking above the camera.
Yeah.
I love it.
Come up with the next finisher that gets famous for being hit out of nowhere, like the RKO, the stunner, or super kicks. Pop-up powerbomb.
Pop-up powerbomb out of nowhere. Try saying that 10 times fast.
Pop-up powerbomb out of nowhere.
Pop-up powerbomb out of nowhere.
Because that's a move that's easy to execute within the flow of a match. Anytime someone gets whipped off the ropes, it could be a pop-up powerbomb.
Pop-up powerbomb. I like that. I kind of like how sometimes Jericho pulls that codebreaker out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I like that, too.
Any move that doesn't need a setup.
Yeah.
Works.
Yeah.
Alex, how do you say that? His last name?
Oh, Alex Gripperis.
Okay, thank you. I'm not good with names.
Gripperis. How do you feel about a double run?
Well, I can read the sentence, but okay.
A double run in during the... Well, we're going to trade off now that I got Silas behind me.
Okay.
How do you feel about... He's my new manager. How do you feel about a double run-in during the Lesnar-Goldberg match with both Shane and Rusev getting involved? I kind of like it. I want to overbook the shit out of that match.
Yeah.
I don't want it clean. I just want so much overbooking.
You see that Rusev is going to take on Lesnar at a live event in Mexico?
I did see that.
After Survivor Series?
You know how I feel about that? 10.
10. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Matthew Duggan. Hey, friendos. First time asking a question. With Neville answering Dolph's open challenge moving to SmackDown. Oh, Will, sorry. Neville answering Dolph's open challenge moving to SmackDown be the final confirmation that someone on Creative is watching you guys. So I think we mentioned that on our SmackDown episode, did we?
Neville's open challenge moving to SmackDown. I liked our friendos thing better. Didn't he say Miz joins Raw and challenges Dolph? That wasn't us. That was one of our friendos,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
If that happens, then that's proof positive.
You think so? Even though Miz was wearing a red suit on SmackDown, that could have been foreshadowing.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe they had Miz wear the suit because
to foreshadow him going to Raw.
Yeah, but then if they foreshadow him going to Raw, that wasn't someone on Creative watching our show and implementing that plan after they heard us say it.
Yeah, I know, but the thing is, most of when we call things are looking at those details and just coming up with the obvious. And then people say, look, you guys did it.
I know. No, I know.
I mean, Rusev, here's the thing. Rusev has called out other big name part-timers before. And so it just kind of made sense that he would be mixing up with Goldberg,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're really not that smart, guys.
No, we're not.
We're just watching this a lot.
Ben, who would win if...
You know what rhymes with Ben?
10. Who would win if all SmackDown tag teams... This is a question I put in here because I knew you'd enjoy it.
Okay. Oh, I like it.
Who would win if all SmackDown tag teams were placed in a Hunger Games scenario?
How about a Battle Royale scenario?
You get to drop... You two get to drop one supply crate each. So we get to drop one crate for
the
team.
Can we then gamble on that supply crate?
See, at first I wanted to say the Hype Bro, but then I thought it's only one person.
Oh, no, that's great.
They'd be at a disadvantage.
Yeah. All Smack, who would win if they're all, it's like...
And like the Ascension, their whole thing is the Wasteland.
Yeah, that makes some sense. I know this, American Alpha would die like immediately. They seem like they're too happy. They're soft. The Vaudevillains might win because they're old-timey. So they have to, you know, the old-timey people have it bad. They had it bad back then.
I'm going to say the Ascension would be victorious, but I'm going to use my supply crate for Hype Bro because Zack Ryder
inside,
will need it.
Inside that supply crate is Mojo Rawley.
Like made flesh?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Well, if that's the case, then I'm going for Hype Bro.
But like it takes like, but the problem with that is it takes like, there's like, it takes like 5 hours for that like...
Is it like the episode of Black
Mirror?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like a bunch of weird chemicals, and he has to put them together and go,
yeah, yeah,
and then let it marinate for like 5 hours, and eventually he's got a naked Mojo Rawley coming out.
Okay,
hey bro, get hype.
We don't get hype, we stay hype.
But then he like malfunctions.
All right, I'm changing my pick then to Hype Bro.
Okay, I'm with Hype Bro. That
okay.
Works.
We need to talk about Total Bellas. I didn't get a chance to watch it because the game went so late.
There's only one section that you need to watch. Number one, it makes me... Okay, I'm going to preface it by saying this. I understand that by and large, I'd be interested to know what the staging of the Daniel Bryan stuff is because it's incredibly depressing and it feels real. But we know this is TV. There are obviously stage situations. I haven't watched Total Divas. You have. You
yeah.
said that seems obviously just completely staged.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to say this. Because I don't know these people personally. And we've been put in situations where we have to interview people. Or we get the pleasure of interviewing people. So I don't want to assume that they're actual assholes. But the Bella family... Like, especially Nikki, man, she seems like, I don't like her character on that show at all. She sort of just sits there and acts like she knows everything, and it's really annoying. Like, I had the misfortune of watching some of last week's episode on accident, where her and stupid JJ, who is just a total turd, was giving Bree so much shit about, like, oh, you change Because you changed because of Daniel Bryan.
That's a situation, too, where I'm sure the producers say, okay, this is a story thread we're going to try out, see if it, what it leads or, or where it leads. And I'm sure the producers say, okay, you really have to give Bree shit about changing.
Yeah.
So that kind of stuff, that's the stuff that's put on.
And there's like a segment in this episode where I know, but also kind of understanding their background and how they're like hottie-totty rich people. Kind of, they might be kind of douchebags, you know? Because like you see JJ, well, I'm not, like, here's the thing. I'm merely talking about the characters I see on TV. I'm not speculating on anything. I have my thoughts. They're probably douchebags. But I'm just, I'm here to talk about what I see on TV.
Yeah.
And so like JJ is talking about like the possibility of having a kid and he just comes off as the biggest dolt. Like, he just really does. And Nikki's talking about like, she's the one giving him advice. And I'm like, you're not any smarter than him, but he is a big dolt. And she's sitting there and it's like, I would, this is me. Cause I'm like a normal person. But like she's sitting there and her titties are all just out. Like she's wearing this low cut thing where like the vast majority of her boobs are just out there. And she's like, is my boob in danger of slipping out? If my sister ever said that to me, I'd be like, fucking, I don't know, man. Put that, put your beef away. I don't want to see that shit. Like if we're going to hang out, like you can do that on your own. If we're going to hang out, sister, I don't want to see your crap. Okay. I don't want to see that stuff. It's just weird and awkward. So the whole time watching these two people and it's like a brother and a sister. And I'm
is
like,
is this on last night's episode?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when they're talking about parenting. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, man, I'm just feeling very, like, I like titties and everything, but like, I don't want to see, you know, a dude and his sister. And he's like trying to talk to her. And I'm like, how are you not like looking down at your sister's massive cleavage? Cause it's just weird. It's just out there and it's bugging the shit out of me. And JJ's like, well, you know, every father wants a son and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, I just, you know, the dad, how our dad raised me and it wasn't all that great. And I'm like, no kidding. Cause you're like a peon for your mom. You know, you're carrying everybody's bags, JJ. You're freaking JJ Bella. You're just a turd. Anyways, there was one fantastic segment though.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I saw a little bit about this on Twitter.
Okay. So, and it was the John Cena moment. Like John Cena is like a part-timer for the show too.
Because yeah.
By and large, it's, there's like three stories that happen. And one of them is Daniel Bryan's crippling depression.
Yeah.
You know, and Bree trying to be a good wife to him.
Yeah.
Which is a very endearing story. And she's a very endearing character.
Yes.
And he is a fucking tragic character. And it bums me out every time I see him.
Yeah.
Because he was meeting with a psychiatrist and then a brain guy, and he was given some sliver of hope, and that hope was taken away, and he was crying, and she was hugging him, and it was awful. It was horrible. But then go over to whenever John Cena shows up, and they're, for some reason, having a get-together where they're drinking wine and painting. Surprisingly, JJ had a very cool painting that he did.
Oh.
I was very into JJ's painting skills because his was like, it was like a silhouetted sort of from the lower calf to the shoe and like high heels. But then over it was like this really messy sort of Jackson Pollock-esque thing going, but you can see the stilettos behind it. And he said, this is my portrait of a woman who is perfect, but then this is her life over it. And it's a mess, but she wants to be the ideal. She wants to be the picture of perfection. And I was like, fuck me, JJ. That's actually pretty deep. That's some fucking deep shit you're getting into there, JJ Bella.
Yeah.
Even though you're a fucking dolt. John Cena looks at it and he's crossing his arms and says, that's cool. So that's his take on the thing. And then Nikki Bella has some pile of trash that she painted. I forget what it was, but it was crap. She was like, this is the opposite. It's somebody who shut up, Nikki. And then John Cena busts out a picture of a fucking dick flying. And it was fantastic. Oh, my God. It's amazing. And nobody talked about the fact that it was all very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Everybody obviously knew it was a dick. But he was describing it as like in all these fucking metaphorical terms about it being life. Because it's supposed to be lemons, and there's lemonade, and there's some white stuff coming out of it. And you guys have to Google this shit because it's fucking absolutely fantastic. I might print this out and put it
on
up
the
here
wall
because it's fucking fantastic. Gosh. Silas Young could be staring at it the entire time, and that's why he's giving the Silas Young face. It was amazing, and John did it so perfectly deadpan. And I didn't see if there was a punchline at the end because I had to get going. But like, I got into the meat of him describing his dick, flying dick painting, and it was fantastic. And I recommend everybody go out there, man, and check it out.
I need to check it out then.
That segment alone was absolutely fantastic, and yeah, it was good. And then I started to fast forward a little bit, and I think Mama Bella might have been going in to like get like her breast checking out.
Oh,
for,
yeah.
Checked out for like cancer or something, because she had like some small lump. And I was like, that's way too heavy for me. I've got enough of Daniel Bryan having his soul literally ripped out, and then having to deal with the vacuous family of the Bellas telling him that he needs to get a bigger fucking house when he's happy getting like a 4,000 or 2,000 square foot house, 4-bedroom house.
Yeah, they went. Yeah, 2,000 square feet.
Which is totally fine. That's what this house is, and I love my house, and it's perfect and cozy, and anything bigger than this. You know, we drive up the street up there, and there's some hotty-totty houses up there.
Yeah, some large houses up there.
There's some large houses. All I think of when I see that is, my God.
It's a pain in the ass to clean.
What a nightmare that would be. You take a look at your smud bill, it'd be a nightmare. Yep. You take a look at your utilities, you'd have to clean the damn thing. I don't have nearly, you know, we're kind of like, we got a lot of crap in this house. But if we spread all the crap out in this house, you'd have to find stuff to fill up that house. I don't want to do that.
Yeah. A lot of empty rooms.
But then you got to figure, if you're a guy like John Cena, you're making how much a year? Let's say with everything he does, $20 million. And I think that's a lot.
Yeah, that's high.
You think that's high? $10
yeah.
million.
Yeah.
10. Let's say $10 million with everything he does. I'm thinking, what else are you going to do with the money?
I know.
You know what I mean? If I had $10 million in my bank account, I'd probably be like, well, if I can just get everybody to move this. If I can just buy a bunch of people to move all the shit out, like their services, not them.
Okay. That was my question.
I'm going to pay for services to have them move. I'm not going to pay for people. That's illegal now. Thank God for that. I'd probably do it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'd get like a cool place, though.
I know.
A place that I want. I'd go to French countryside and live there.
Yeah. Could retire.
Yeah. Would we?
If we had $10 million, if we didn't have to work.
Yeah. What would you do?
It'd be tempting.
What would you do? Would you really do nothing? You'd get bored so quick. I'd want to do something.
Yeah, I'd do something.
We'd hire some people. At the very least, we'd hire some people, so all we have to do...
All we have to do is talk.
Is talk, is show up. Because here's the fun thing. It is a lot of fun. The most fun about this, or one of the most fun things about this, is going to those wrestling shows now.
Oh, yeah.
And being surrounded by friends.
I know.
You know? It's like... I was walking through the thing the other day at NXT Sacramento, and dude just said, "Hey, Steve here, what's up? What's up? Did this, I moved along."
Yeah.
You know, everybody that we met at these things has been so freaking cool.
Yes.
And it just adds an element of, oh, look, we're all friendos.
Yeah.
That's why we got to get shirts made, because we want other friendos to spot other friendos and be like, hey, let's do a quick friendo meetup.
Yeah.
Well, too sweet to people.
Yeah. We got one more bit of business to take care of today.
The winner.
Did you find the shirt?
It's around here somewhere. Lacey mentioned it the other day. She was digging through some shit and was like, what is this Kenny Omega shirt? Can I wear this? I'm like, yeah, you can't wear that because that's not for a contest. It's around here somewhere.
Okay.
Lacey saw it the other day. I got to remember where she was when she saw it.
Okay.
We have a Kenny Omega shirt. It's an extra large. It's very thick. The material is not terribly comfortable, but we put it up for an art contest.
Yeah.
We put it out there a couple weeks ago. Took us a little while to get around to choosing the winner. There are three entries here. And for one thing, everybody that actually participated, if you haven't already, email us stevenlarson@gmail.com.
Yes.
So that we can get your address and put your address and the piece of art that you submitted to us on Twitter.
Yes.
Because we lost a lot of the Twitter entries.
Yeah.
A lot of you people did. And so we already have that. Now we'll respond and get your mailing address, because everybody who submitted one...
Gets a postcard.
So we're going to send those out. There are three here that I thought were exceptional. One is the winner.
Yes.
All three of these are going to go up on the board, because we've got to mix this board up a little bit.
Yeah.
All three of these are going to go up on the board. Maybe the winner will go up on the new board that we're making over there.
Okay.
The new wall that I had installed specifically for... I had that wall installed.
Oh, just as a backdrop.
Just as a backdrop.
Okay.
Yeah. I made it myself. Three that were exceptionally good that I really, really loved. One of them is the winner.
Yes.
But here are the two runner-ups.
Yes.
Which...
Our three finalists.
And the two runner-ups, I'm going to send them out something cool. Like, the winner gets everything.
Yeah.
Including the Kenny Omega shirt, the postcard.
Deluxe package.
Maybe a couple extras. But then the two here...
We'll find something else.
Find something else. Maybe a t-shirt. Maybe an extra t-shirt.
We'll see.
The Going In Raw t-shirt. We'll see. Anyways, this is our first...
First finalist.
Our first runner-up. Sort of like the first... The two runner-ups, are I think, are on equal footing. We love them both. Our good friend-o, Stefan Fenris, made this one here. And I'm going to send you the file, so when you cut this, you can actually put the piece of artwork on there. But this is Stefan Fenris. This is really cool. I like this. They're in a ring. Power Lunch is about to pound on some little guy.
And chafing.
All sorts of flash photography happening.
He's got the thigh chafing there.
And especially he's got the thigh chafing right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I forgot we have a video question, too.
This is a good one. Then we'll do Vincent Palmieri's video question after this. I really love this because it kind of reminds me of the Venture Brothers.
Yeah.
This is Heather and Jay came up with this one. And I love the style of it and sort of the color scheme. It reminds me of Venture Brothers.
Yeah, it does.
I want to see... If there was a Son of Power Lunch cartoon,
oh yeah,
I would want it to be in this style.
Yes.
I think this is fantastic. So we'll send you guys out some stuff.
Fantastic.
But the winner of our Son of Power Lunch art contest is Michael, the Unified Soviet Bloc Party champion. This was fantastic. There's so much great depth rendering. The emotion on Son of Power Lunch's face.
He's got the body oil.
The fact that he made it into like a card, like one of those...
Super
cards. I thought this, like when I saw this, I was like, oh my God, this is the winner. Like no contest. This is fantastic.
And I like that Son of Power Lunch has burst through the Cena shirt.
Yes, exactly.
To douse himself with more body oil.
There's so much story happening here from his power levels. The look on his face, he's ready to go, double fisting the oil, extra oily, extra veiny.
Everything about it is just magical.
So Michael, the United Soviet Bloc Party champion, but thank you to
everybody.
Yes,
they're all great.
They're all really good. And, you know, we took time to look at the three finalists, but really they're all really good. And we're going to do some more of these. You know,
we definitely appreciate everybody who participated.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
We have to answer we're going to answer one video question, but we have to answer a couple questions about... Fuck wrestling really quick.
You mean Friendo Unified Championship Wrestling?
So everybody knows we're going to have a draft. The details of which are still coming.
Yeah, and people have been asking us on Twitter, am I too late?
Right.
The answer is no. You have time.
Here's the thing. You're never too late. You're only going to be too late when 2K18 is on the horizon.
Yeah.
Because this is going to be a continuing thing. We're going to have... we'll get to the details in a video soon to come.
Yeah.
Because we're working on all
this. As far as the initial draft, we haven't set a date, but you can expect it probably within the next month or so.
Yeah, I would say within a couple of weeks. I would say by the end of November, we're going to hold the draft.
Likely, yes.
But we are going to, so that's your general sort of, you know.
So you have plenty of time to create your characters, submit them.
Correct.
Fashion awesome highlight reels. We've got a lot of those already, and they're awesome. Awesome.
Right now, I'm Adam Mayhem. I'm Adam Mayhem. Because number one, I think he's a real dude. And he cut a promo.
Yeah.
And he showed actual video footage of him wrestling and video game footage of his character.
Yes.
I'm not going to ask people to go out there and become indie wrestlers to do this. But I thought that was a very effective promo. Somebody wants to get on camera and show us why they think their guy is. Do it in any way you want.
Yeah.
You know, be as effective as you want. Be creative with it.
Yes.
But, you know, you're appealing to us because we're going to be the ones drafting.
So if you get the number one overall pick, are you selecting Adam Mayhem?
I don't know. We have a lot to talk about, you and
we
I.
We do.
We got some business to settle.
We do.
So that, depending on how our business is settled, what I'm thinking about in my head that I'm going to bring to you will determine whether or not I get to do what I want to do. Earl Smothers still looks really good, though. You know why Earl Smothers reminds me of? You know who reminds
Silas
me of?
Silas Young.
Silas fucking Young, baby. Oh, that's great. We have a video question.
One video question
Vincent
from
Palmieri.
Vincent Palmieri.
Then we're going to have lunch.
Hey, friendos. Vince here. With another video question for you guys. It's Halloween. It's the spookiest time, scariest time of the year. And I thought about a good question with a theme. A good, bloody, violent theme. I've been watching a lot of scary movies and scary things on television. So I wanted to ask you guys a wrestling-related scary question. Two, actually. One is, what's the scariest thing you think you've ever seen live on television, not just wrestling television, but like television period, like something that genuinely to your core was just frightening. And on the line of, you know, wrestling and my wrestling related questions that I usually ask, what level of hardcore wrestling do you think is like in place there that needs to be in place nowadays? Because it's a lot more technical and it's a lot more map based and storytelling. But if you look at a place like Lucha Underground, they managed to incorporate this great kind of hardcore violence into their stories without like overshadowing the technical stuff. My favorite match from like Lucha Underground so far was the Vampiro and Pentagon Jr. match, which was not a great match as like wrestling goes, but like it was fantastic, and it was basically backyard wrestling in a ring. There was fire and tables and light tubes and blood and mask ripping, and it was great, and I loved it. What do you guys think about hardcore wrestling? What level does it need to get to, like in today's WWE, or should it just not be in there? Hell in a Cell just happened too, so this is pretty topical. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Vincent. We can get pretty, okay. Scary Singer is seen on TV. I mean, 9/11 is obviously like that's way up there.
Yes,
that's really far up there. Undertaker dumping himself on his head at WrestleMania 25. I just saw that. Scariest thing you've ever seen on TV.
Mick Foley being choke slammed through the cage.
We saw
his own mission that could have killed him.
We watched the VHS tape. My girlfriend at the time recorded the Owen Hart pay-per-view when he died. That was pretty damn scary, but we knew he died in advance when we popped it in. We're like, that was fucked up watching that.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see, obviously,
yeah.
For people out there who don't know what happened, most of you know what happened, Owen Hart died. As a Blue Blazer, he was supposed to come down on a rappel or whatever it is. Not a zip line. What is that called?
I think rappel is the closest I can think of to being right. Because he's supposed to be lowered
into
the ring.
A cord is something like
that.
There's a fucking word for it.
Yeah, no, he's supposed to be lowered into the ring.
He's supposed to lower it in the ring, and he was dicking with his cape, and he hit the release on accident and came falling down. But while that happened, God, could you imagine if that happened live? Like, if you saw it happen? Jesus Christ. Whoa. That gives me chills thinking about that, if that was the case. Thank God for the people who didn't want to be traumatized. They were running a video package at the time, and the lights had been darkened in the arena. So most of the people, I guarantee you, some people were probably looking up there because, as in the live crowd, you always like to see, oh, what's going on when we're not looking at this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I guarantee some people were probably looking up and being like, oh, what's going on up there? And then,
Yeah.
So watching that, knowing that like what happened, it's like, oh, that was horrifying. Of course, I've gone back and I've watched the Bud Dwyer video.
Yeah.
You seen that before?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty horrible.
Yeah, that's really bad.
I've seen somebody commit suicide on TV. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, were you watching live when, what was that kid's name whose leg exploded? We were watching when Sid's leg exploded. The Louisville kid.
Oh, yeah, I watched that live.
What was the name again? Ware?
Kevin Ware.
Kevin Ware.
Yeah, I was watching that live.
Yeah, did you see the leg happen live?
Yeah.
Did you understand when you were watching it? Oh my God, that was fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know what the shot looked like. It was a wide shot.
It was a wide shot, and he was on the far side of the court. He shot a three, and he landed, and he just kind of fell. And pretty soon, someone on the Louisville staff, because it was right in front of their bench, saw what happened and put a towel over his leg.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't so much you could see the bone sticking out live on TV because everything happened so fast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And of course, when he shot it and he missed the shot and they followed as the rebound happened before the timeout called. But you see his teammates crying.
Yeah.
And then they start reporting about what happened.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
Oh, man.
Bad.
Did they didn't do any replays on that, did they?
Yeah.
They did?
I think so, yeah. Jeez. Maybe. It wasn't like
I would imagine they might have done one, realized how bad it, because sometimes they're probably so automatic up there in the booth. About that. They're probably so automatic they don't know exactly what happened. Let's just replay that really quick. Oh fuck, don't do that again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know?
Also, like, did you see the Paul George break his leg?
Yeah. Yeah. No, you know what I watched? I think I saw a still of his like foot just being like bent like up against the punch.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I saw how messed up his foot looked.
Here's another one. Sports injury. This is somehow segued into worst sports injuries ever.
Yeah.
Years ago, it was Napoleon McCallum.
I didn't watch that much football back then because that was a long time ago. That was when I was in high school,
early 90s.
Yeah. But I saw that, and
knee got bent completely the wrong way.
He came back from that, though,
no.
Didn't he? Oh, he didn't?
No.
Man, I thought he came back from that.
Nope. There's another one, Robert Edwards. He was a running back for the Patriots, and he just finished his rookie season.
Yeah.
And he had a great rookie year.
Yeah.
And so he was in a charity flag football game that was played on a beach, I think before the Pro Bowl in Hawaii.
Oh, man.
And so he was in the game. I think he dove to caught the football for a touchdown, and he ripped everything in his knee. And he brings his leg up, and his knee is just, or the lower half of his leg is just going every which way.
Why?
Or there's Tim Krumrie in the Super Bowl where he broke his leg. He has a compound fracture. You don't see the bone coming out, but you see his lower half of his shin.
Yeah. I heard that whole stadium, that whole whatever it was, the Olympics, when that dude did the jump up with the thing and snapped it, and everybody heard a big snap.
Yeah.
Because everybody's hella quiet at the Olympics.
I couldn't.
I didn't watch that shit. I did not watch it, but I heard about it.
On Twitter, someone posted a spell.
Yeah, I hate when they do that.
It was bad, too.
Yeah.
Did you ever see when Baron Davis dislocated his knee?
I did. Did you ever see the picture of Sean Livingston's knee?
Yep.
It's just a bucket of Brock's in his knee. Oh, God, terrible. You remember watching Sid live when Sid broke his leg? We were watching that live. I'm trying to think what else. Those are all pretty bad, though.
Yeah.
In person, we saw a freaking Supreme get lit on
fire. That was frightening.
Yeah. And then he says, what level of hardcore wrestling is acceptable these days? I'd say anything that isn't
head trauma.
Yeah, that has a lasting. Okay, so I don't know much about the tubes, the light tubes.
I believe
when you breathe that shit in, it's
probably, that's not good for you.
Yeah. Anything that has lasting damage. That's not
well.
Good.
I think the fluorescent tubes, because he mentions that in his question in terms of the Lucha Underground match. Excuse me. The match we've talked about was Supreme getting lit on fire.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Earlier in that match, he and was it Kid Chaos?
Yeah. Okay.
Did a duel with fluorescent tubes.
Yeah.
And I'll always remember there was a chunk about this big,
Jesus Christ,
that broke off and flew into the area where people were sitting.
Yeah.
Thankfully, no one was sitting where it landed.
Yeah.
But it came flipping through the air, and if that had hit somebody, man, it would have been really bad. And that's I think for the fluorescent tubes, for me, that's a huge concern.
Yeah.
Is that once those two tubes collide, you don't know where any of that stuff's going.
I know. Exactly.
And it's very easy, especially in a place like the temple at Lucha Underground, where the crowd is right there.
Yeah.
That someone get hit with a huge shard of glass.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Yeah. I watched a super indie pro wrestling show on YouTube. I showed you the bits from it.
I got on
like SoCalUncensored.com, and they do a lot of indie, and they've been around forever because they were around when we were down there like ages ago. And I was surprised. I'm like, oh, they're still around. That's cool. But they had, and it was literally maybe 10 people. And the review was just killing.
Yeah.
Killing
I read the review. Yeah.
Because like the promoter allegedly was really shady. And they were. It was this little tiny promotion, really small venue, like extra small venue, and maybe 12 people in attendance. And they were doing. They did like a death match. Number one, the wrestling was all terrible. Like people were missing spots. But then they did a death match where it was just obvious that these guys were looking for shock value. They put like a syringe through his face, and they were using all sorts of tubes. And I was like, this is not fucking cool, man. Like, that's just it's so bad. It's so flipping bad. And there is a level where it's like they get a kick out of the idea that they're really messing them up. And that's, to me, that's not it. You know, I don't want to see that.
That's not cool.
You know, it's like, there's too much stuff we know now. They're entertainers. They're actors. I don't want them to have lasting damage. I don't want that to happen. It's not. You know,
so any of those matches with the C4 or stuff that explodes or anything like that.
When it's like, okay, so we've looked at that death match when that dude got gutted with a sickle.
Yeah.
Okay. When we watched that, we looked at it, and we have the reaction video on our channel. You can watch it. when we watched that, we tried to see what here was actually dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think they might have been doing some headshots, but I don't remember it being that bad. So much of it was theatrics.
Yes.
Somebody gets dumped into the water and
some pyro goes off.
They're totally fine. They have a much bigger chance of drowning because they're wearing heavy clothes than anything else.
Yeah.
You know, they're just jumping into the water and some pyro goes off nowhere near them, but it kind of looks like it's near them. The guy got gutted with a sickle. He didn't even actually juice down there. They got a lot of fake blood, and the guy he looked like he was rubbing the sickle in him.
Yeah.
But there was no like actual penetration of the blade through the skin.
Yeah.
So it seems. I would think that bleeding from the stomach is probably not a good idea.
No.
Yeah, it's different. Like when you do here, it's like it comes out here and it looks really bad, but it's probably not that bad.
You know?
Plenty of guys have scarred up foreheads. Like you look at New Jack's forehead, it looks all scarred up.
Yeah.
But he didn't suffer any lasting damage from blood loss that night.
No.
So the bottom line is if there's a lot of show and nobody's really getting hurt. I mean, I know you get hurt in pro wrestling. It's a rough business.
Yeah.
But in terms of like when you get hit with a chair or anything in the head, that's going to start to mess up your personality. It's going to mess up who you are inherently as a person because who you are is up here.
Yes.
And that's when things are not good.
As far as hardcore spots, if they can enhance the story being told,
mm-hmm.
and so long as you said, they're not dangerous to the point where people can get severely permanently injured.
Yeah.
I could see some value in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you could consider like in the Hell in the Cell match, the Rollins Owens one,
mm-hmm.
when Owens got put through those two tables, that's a hardcore spot.
Yeah, and it added value
to the match.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But there was very little danger of any serious irreparable damage being done.
Right. They're professionals. They've done it a million times. And so they know what the risk is. They know what they're doing. And that's part of the wellness policy in place of the WWE is let's make sure these guys aren't like, you know, we want longevity for these guys, you know? And yeah, granted, I know it's because they come under fire for that shit in the past, but it's in place and that's good.
Yes.
So, yeah. Anyways, I think it's it. Is that it?
That's it.